Calling all detectives. In a lawsuit involving $250,000, my job was to serve a summons to death. That is the situation on this page from my casebook. The casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. Take it from me, Jerry Browning, private detective. The way I make my money is by far the hardest. Franklin Judson came out into the anteroom, personally escorted me back to his office.
Mr. Browning, the job I want you to do sounds simple. Merely serve a summons in a civil court action against a man named Howard Kendall.
I smiled. I don't do that kind of work, Mr. Judson. There are companies that specialize in process serving.
Yes, I know, and they've all failed. Browning, this lawsuit involves $250,000. My client, George Clement, has been deprived of patent rights. The case is open and shut, except that nobody has been able to serve Howard Kendall with the summons. He's much too clever and wary. If you can serve him, I'll pay you $200.
For $200, Mr. Judson, I'll serve him. About 8 o'clock that evening, I drove to the apartment house where Howard Kendall lived. I got in through the cellar, walked up the back stairs, 10 flights to Kendall's apartment. Then...
Who's there?
I thought I had a fine answer all ready for that question. Fire patrol investigator, Mr. Kendall. I was grinning at the thought of how meekly most people would respond to an official-sounding title. A door slowly opened. Oh, I picked myself up off the floor, shook my head to clear the cobwebs. Apparently, Kendall was not one of those people who fall for an official title. I turned away to leave when... I ran back to the door, rattled the doorknob, found the door unlocked, dashed in, and found something else. Howard Kendall slumped in a chair, a revolver dangling from his right hand. No more need for him to worry about process servers. He was dead. Hired to serve a summons on a man, I made one vain attempt to do so, then found him shot to death.
Okay, Browning, in here.
The cop led me into Kendall's bedroom where the DA was doing his questioning. Lieutenant Dawson was there, too, but this was one case the DA considered important enough to handle personally.
Browning, you claim that you tried to serve Kendall with a summons by means of a trick. That Kendall unlocked the door and slugged you, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. He was smarter than I gave him credit for being.
Then how do you account for the fact that after he did strike you, as you claim, he did not lock the door again?
I don't know, maybe he forgot.
I doubt it. I think you forced entry, struggled with the man, and shot him with his own gun.
I shrugged. Okay, put me under arrest. The DA turned to Dawson.
I recommend this man's arrest, Lieutenant.
Dawson folded his arms, looked stolidly at the DA.
I don't agree, Mr. DA. Apart from the fact that I know Jerry here wouldn't lie, there isn't evidence to warrant his arrest.
The DA compressed his lips.
Very well. You can go, Browning, but this is only the beginning.
This wasn't the first time I'd tangled with the DA, and I knew that what my friend Dawson had won me was, at best, only a little time. I had to use that time and use it fast. Franklin Judson, the lawyer who'd hired me to serve the summons, led me into the book-lined study of his home.
This is appalling, Mr. Browning. I don't know what to say.
Mr. Judson, you'd better find something to say or I'm in a bad spot.
I'll do anything in my power to help. Just name it.
Well, tell me something about Kendall. Did he have money? And how did he happen to tangle with your client?
Kendall was very wealthy. Otherwise, there would have been no point in suing him for so much money. As for my client, he's George Clement, an inventor. Clement perfected a new typesetting machine that may revolutionize printing. Kendall formed a company to manufacture it, has been selling stock, but has not put the machine into manufacture. It's a very complex case involving damages for deliberately withholding a product from the market and other considerations.
Mr. Judson, this morning you told me the case was open and shut. This doesn't sound like it. Judson looked uncomfortable.
Well, frankly, I, I was anxious to have the summons served. I'm sorry, Browning.
Yeah, I'll bet you are. Well, how about your client, this George Clement? Where can I find him?
He lives at the Marlin Club. I spoke to him a short while ago. He's there now.
George Clement was a small, dark man with the deep-set, burning eyes of the visionary.
Kendall dead? Good, very good. So his conscience finally proved too much for him.
Something proved too much, Mr. Clement, but I don't think it was his conscience. Where were you about 8 o'clock this evening?
Clement looked at me with cold contempt.
Right here at the club, since 7 o'clock. I had dinner in the dining room and have been with one or another of my fellow club members ever since.
That's a good alibi, Mr. Clement. In fact, it's so good it might almost have been prearranged. I'll be seeing you.
I went to police headquarters, had a talk with Dawson.
Dawson, when Kendall's door opened and I was slugged, it happened so fast I had no chance to see who or what did it. I think Kendall was already dead by then. The murderer expected me and used me to set up an alibi for an earlier killing.
Dawson shook his head.
Impossible, Jerry. The murderer had no idea what time you'd be arriving. And if he was in Kendall's apartment waiting to slug you, he couldn't be someplace else setting up an alibi.
Look, George Clement is an inventor. If he could invent a typesetting machine, one of the most complex machines on Earth, he could work a murder with some kind of a gimmick. Dawson, George Clement is our man.
We arrived at the Marlin Club with the police siren wide open, made as much noise as possible.
George Clement, you're under arrest for the murder of Howard Kendall.
We took Clement into one of the club rooms. Clement, you're not such a hot inventor. Your gadget just didn't work right. Its timing was all wrong. The whole thing was too complicated. Because the voice record asked who's there after I got slugged, not before, as it should have. Clement curled his lip.
You're a liar. If my machine desynchronized, the photoelectric cell would have halted the entire mechanism. And as for your transparent attempt to extract a confession from me, I know you'll find the machine sooner or later, now that you suspect me.
He got up.
Come, I'll show you the machine. You probably haven't found it yet.
Yeah, he showed it to us. A small, compact mechanism built into the transom above Kendall's front door and appearing like an exhaust fan. He'd installed it that afternoon following Kendall's murder, and it was set into motion by a ring at the doorbell, anybody's ring. Clement didn't care who walked into the trap. In fact, he didn't even know his lawyer had hired me. Like I said, private detectives may make pretty good money, but it's always a toss-up whether they'll live to enjoy it.